Question to start with this morning. I wonder how many different taps you've used already today. If you had to sit down and count, how many different taps have you turned on already this morning? And it's funny, it takes a while to work it out because we just walk to a sink and turn a tap on. We don't think about it. We take it for granted that every time we turn that tap on, there will be lots of clean water. And it's hard for us to imagine the situation where there simply isn't any water available. But for millions of people around the world, that's the reality. Only in their wildest dreams can they imagine having a tap that you can turn on and there's a seemingly endless supply of clean water flows from it. That's just in their wildest dreams. Because the reality is there's either very little or no water at all. This was so in the biblical land of Jeremiah's time. Much of that area was arid and dry. There was no water. And so water became very, very precious. And when God's people thought about water, they immediately linked it with life. So all the way through the Bible, you have this link between water and life, water and the life that God gives us. So the psalmist in Psalm 36 says, "You give them drink from your river of delights, for with you is the fountain of life." Isaiah, when he talks to the people and calls them back to God, he says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, come back to God. Come back to God's love." In John's Gospel, we read of the conversation between Jesus and a woman who's there at the well to collect water. And not unnaturally, the conversation centers around water. But it's living water that Jesus offers, eternal life. So Jesus invites people to come and drink, not just from a jar of water, but to drink the water of life. All through the Bible, water is synonymous with life. It speaks to us of eternal life. And we sometimes struggle to hold on to that because water for us is so common, so easy to access. But in the land and time of Jeremiah, water was precious. It really did mean life. I want you to imagine that you're living in and around Jeremiah. You have some land in a desert place. Water is scarce. Water is precious. But in your piece of land, you have something which is wonderful. You have a spring. And because you have that spring on your land, you have all the water you need for drinking, for washing, for looking after your animals and your crops. You have everything you need because on your land, there's that little spring. And water is pouring out. Then I want you to imagine having that spring, but deciding, you know what? I'm going to spend some time digging out from the rock a reservoir. A tank. And so you literally chip it out of the solid rock. You dig a great tank, a reservoir, what Jeremiah calls a cistern. And the idea is it will collect rainwater. It will collect, you can bring water to it and pour water into it. Some of these cisterns, people would have had them, would have been about the size of a room. I was in one which is probably about the size of this building. It is huge. And on the inside of those cisterns, they would plaster the walls with a waterproof plaster so that the water would be kept in. But over time, that plaster dries out and cracks and falls off, and the water begins to seep out, leak out. And with that leaking water dribbles away all of the hope that people have put in that cistern. Now it's madness. Madness to forget about the spring which is there giving you all this water that you need and go off and put your energy and your effort and your hopes into a cistern, a tank, a reservoir, which you will build and which will leak and which cannot be trusted. It's absolute madness. And yet, Jeremiah insists this is exactly what God's people are doing. They have turned away from the God who provides them with everything and gone to do their own thing. So the last verse which Gordon read for us simply says this: my people have committed two sins. Number one, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water. They've turned their backs on God. Number two, they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. They've turned their back on the living God. They've walked away from the one who led and guided them out of Egypt, out of slavery. The one who wandered through the desert with them, leading them and guiding them. The one who brought them to this land which is full of good things, the promised land. They've turned their backs on him and decided instead they'll create their own gods. They'll do their own thing. Jeremiah says they've got these worthless idols and they themselves have become worthless. Idols, just like broken cisterns, will always fail their worshippers. They don't provide, they don't protect, they don't meet our deepest needs. God provides life, abundant and unfailing life. But because of these two sins, turning away from God and turning to false gods or idols, God says there will be judgment. And that is Jeremiah's message. Because of these two sins, there will be judgment. Jerusalem, this city which was beautiful, which was everything to the people of Israel, which was the high point of their land, that city would be devastated. And the people would be carried off in exile far away. How could these people have been so short-sighted? How could these people have experienced all of the goodness and greatness and grace of God and then decided, well, we can do better ourselves? We can create our own gods and we'll worship our own gods and they'll look after us. How could they have been so short-sighted? Of course, we would never behave in that way. Or would we? We're living through unusual, difficult, strange times. I think I would be wary about saying this is God's judgment on us, but what it certainly is God's wake-up call for us. We're called to look at our own lives. In what ways, Lord, have we as a nation turned from you and decided, well, we can do this ourselves? It's time to look at where we put our trust. In the God who provides abundant, unfailing life, or in these broken cisterns that we turn to, things that we've created ourselves. How could people who've experienced the spring of living water in the unending grace and love and provision of the living God then turn their back on him? How can people who know God as the source of everything, everything that makes life worth living, chase after other satisfaction, other life, other security and fulfillment, looking for it in what we have made, the things that we have produced by our own hands? So Jeremiah denounced those who lived that way and announced God's judgment. The broken promises of his people reflected in those broken cisterns and ending up in those broken hearts. It's not an easy message to hear. As you read through Jeremiah, you'll discover that Jeremiah went through a lot for proclaiming that message. But it was true. And we need to hear it. We need to hear and be challenged about ways that we have turned from God and decided, you know what, we can trust in our own abilities, in our own strengths, in our own intelligence, in our own ability to work things out, our own ability to fix things. And then along comes a little virus that reminds us, you know what, you're not in control. You can't fix it. God is in control. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who's still sovereign and on his throne, the one who is working out his purposes. And he calls us to come back to him. Judgment does not have the final word in the book of Jeremiah. Neither does it in God's grace. Grace has the final word. For even with judgment looming, God holds out hope and grace to his people in Jeremiah's time. Even through what we go through now, God reaches out to us in grace through his Son, Jesus Christ, and offers us life, not just for a while, not just in small amounts, not life that will eventually dribble away and fade out, but life in all of its fullness. The grace of our God who never lets us go. Grace has the last word. And so Jeremiah urges the people of God to find their life in God once more. Jesus, again in that conversation with the woman at the well, says this: whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Again, remember, this is a conversation at a well with a jar full of water, and the conversation is a bit confused. Does Jesus mean this water in the jar, or is he talking about something else? And Jesus makes it so clear. You can drink this water from the jar, and it will help for a while, but you will become thirsty again. But the water that he gives is water which will never run out. Eternal life, abundant life, unfailing life. And so, like the people of Jeremiah's time, we need not only to hear God's warning, but we need to hear loud and clear his gracious call to us in Jesus Christ to come back to him. And in him, to find life. May God give us the grace in these difficult times to turn back to him, but to find life. Let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks that you are the God who provides and sustains. You are the God who offers us all we need, and yet we confess that we have often not trusted you. We have often thought that we could provide better for ourselves. Lord, forgive our arrogance. Forgive our self-sufficiency. And bring us back, we pray, to experience the Father's love, which will not let us go. And this we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.